Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 32, man. 32.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
What have you been up to since the last episode?
Man, you know, not a lot. For it's summertime and I've been super busy.
Yeah.
I have no free time, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. Same here.
Something's always going on.
Or there's a new TV show or a couple new movies.
Or we're going to a concert.
Yeah, a concert. Yeah. Rock the Shores, that was last weekend in Colwood.
We're super lucky we didn't have to record last weekend, because I don't know if Adrian would have made it.
I definitely wouldn't have made it, dude. I think I suffered a bit of heat exhaustion that weekend. Just all I drank was water, but apparently it would have been good to mix in like some Gatorade with that.
Little electrolytes?
Yeah, but since they don't let you bring your own drinks, you've got to pay whatever they were charging for Gatorade there.
They were selling Gatorade? I never saw any. So.
Some of the vendors were. So probably like $4 a bottle or some crap.
I was going to say 10.
Yeah, probably. Cool. Yeah. It was hot. Some of the highlights. Who do we see? Well, you went day two.
Yeah.
And we saw...
Day one, you saw Black Keys.
Yeah, Black Keys. That was pretty cool.
Sweet.
Sheepdogs.
5440.
5440. They were really cool. I've never seen them live before.
Yeah.
What's that other Victoria band?
Current Swell.
Current Swell. They were awesome. They were one of the best. I thought they were one of the best bands of the weekend. So, yeah, and day two, I only went for TV on the Radio and Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, I saw Father James Misty. Father John Misty. There we go.
There you go.
Third time's the charm. Awesome.
Nice.
Kind of like a... Not the kind of music I usually listen to, but really good.
Cool.
Then TV on the Radio are amazing live.
Oh, so good.
I love them.
Yeah.
And then, Jane's freaking Addiction.
That was awesome.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Just for the record, Dave Navarro, still a rock god.
Oh, he's great.
Amazing.
Every solo he just nailed. It was so cool.
And Perry Farrell was all cracked out, so it was great.
He was high on something.
Something.
He straight up said, like, I am so high right now. I don't know where I am. He's like, did you guys see me come in on a helicopter? He's like, that was badass.
Yeah, just out of it. Still an amazing show.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was cool. As I said, we're lucky we didn't have to record last weekend because it wouldn't have been good.
Totally. But yeah, that was fun. Rock the Shores. For the show, for Rock the Shores, I actually bought a GoPro camera, which is right there. Hi. Flash the metal horns.
Yeah, we're recording the show.
Yeah, so we're going to mess around. We're going to post this on YouTube and see if anybody responds to it. We're basically going to record some of the show and throw it on YouTube because a lot of people like YouTube and it's just another way to build the Green Screen of Death brand. So we'll give you a chance to see what we do and see us in action.
I'm a little scared, but it's all good.
Yeah, hey, it's all good. It's only going to be part of the show, so
yeah.
Probably the first like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. But yeah, that's basically all that's been going on in my life. Oh, yeah. A little bit of footy news.
Yeah, footy's in 2 weeks, man.
That's crazy, man.
Can't wait.
Yeah, bring it on.
Do you know who you got first week?
I have no idea.
I got Tottenham first week.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, big matchup. Nice. At Old Trafford.
Who are you guys trying to get right now again?
We need a striker. Nobody's really come out and say they want to get rid of their player, but I think it's Thomas Müller from
Heard that. Okay,
Bayern Munich.
Yeah, that would be
like
sick.
100 million.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
that would be insane if you guys get him.
We'll probably lose David De Gea to Real Madrid, so that could be pretty disaurous.
Yeah.
But I can't wait.
That's
bring
cool.
It on.
Yeah,
back to the 4:30 a.m. mornings.
That's right. Every Saturday we'll be up.
Yeah.
Liverpool signed Benteke. Costs a lot of money, but he's a healthy player and he can finish.
I like that deal.
Yeah. I thought it was a fair price.
Big strong dude in the front of the net. You guys needed that.
Oh, he's a monster.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Good luck getting him off the ball.
That's right. Yeah, footy's just around the corner, man. You ready for some rant action?
Yeah. Sure.
Cool. Let's get into it. I'll go first this time. If anybody's new to the show, we always talk about something we rant about. Anything movie related. For me, it's usually about social media. This time, I'm mixing it up. I just wanted to talk about the oversaturation of trailers and spoilers that we're privy to before every time we see any movie, whether it's Terminator 5 or Ant-Man or even Southpaw. I didn't see the trailer for Southpaw, and I'll get into it a bit later. But I think not I think, I know for a fact that the oversaturation of the marketing is affecting my experience at the movies, because I'm just so fed up with seeing so many money shots before I see the film. And I know that they have to get butts in the seats. But with Ant-Man, I felt like I saw, you know, the entire final act. And I basically did because of the trailers. I'm getting sick of it. Terminator revealed quite a big plot twist that would have been pretty cool if we didn't know about it going in.
And you mentioned Southpaw. A critic on Twitter mentioned something that's in the trailer, and he got destroyed for it.
Oh, big time, yeah.
It's a spoiler.
It is.
A huge spoiler.
It's a huge spoiler.
And everybody crapped on him. James Rocky, for the record.
That's right.
Hi, James.
I thought it was pretty lame, but you know, some people don't watch spoilers, which I think is the biggest takeaway. And I didn't watch a trailer for Southpaw because I heard Jake Gyllenhaal and I heard boxing and I was like, I'm in. Yeah, that's all. I wish I didn't see so many trailers for every movie.
I agree, it sucks. I still like trailers though.
I do too. Yeah.
I'm not gonna stop watching trailers because of bad marketing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah. So that's it for me.
Rant done.
Rant over.
All right. My rant has to do with Cineplex. If you don't live in Canada, that is the only theater chain pretty much in Canada.
Yeah.
Monopoly. They own everything.
Oh, yeah.
There's another couple of little small ones, but they don't
count. Especially on the west coast of Canada.
Yeah.
That's all we have.
They were going to have a Mission Impossible sneak preview. It was a very expensive ticket. It was $24.99.
Yeah, that's right.
To see Mission Impossible like 4 days early. I'm like, that's cool. I have to work on the Friday when it comes out, so I'll just see it on Monday. That's cool. I'll pay an extra $5 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's already like $18 to see it.
Oh, totally.
I buy my ticket. Adrian goes to buy his ticket today because he wants to go too, and it's not on the website anymore. So he's like, what the hell is going on? Contacts the Cineplex movie Twitter people. They tell him the screening has been canceled.
Yeah, and you have no idea. I have no idea.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I have a ticket for it.
Yeah. And you posted it on Twitter.
And it was like he almost didn't believe us. So I took a photo of the effing ticket.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, here's my ticket. There was a show. He blew me off, told me to phone a 1-800 number. And I just got really pissed.
Oh, big time.
I was looking forward to it. I want to see the movie.
Yeah, we were fully expecting to see it on Monday.
Plus, we were going to do something really weird. We were going to watch Mission Impossible 5 and then do a live review on Adrian's little portable recorder and then paste it into the show. It was we had show content here.
Yeah, we had the potential to, because press screening is a foreign word over here, foreign phrase. We don't get anything early. So it would have been pretty cool for us to have a podcast review the day it comes out. It would have been kind of cool for us to see if, you know, maybe that generates a bit more traffic, or it just would have been fun. We both love the franchise. I think it's safe to say we both like Tom Cruise. So, I dig the hell out of Tom Cruise, man.
Yeah. Okay.
But
yes, long story short, it's a Sunday, so I can't really yell at Cineplex until tomorrow, but I'm going to yell at them tomorrow.
Oh, big time.
And guess what? They deserve it.
Big time.
Because it's stupid. It's not like Dave Grohl broke his leg. Foo Fighters had to cancel.
Yeah.
You guys sold tickets to this. Yeah. There was no reason.
Yeah. If it wasn't for me looking at tickets,
I would have shown up.
You would have showed up. I would have showed up. Yeah. And we would have been like, hey, where's the movie?
Yeah. It's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
And they're going to know about it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm loud.
That's right. That's right.
That might have been more than a minute, but I don't care.
That's right. Right on, man. Well, that's cool. And that's the start of our show. We always start it that way.
Yeah.
And then we get into like three main reviews. And then we talk about our movie club, which is still pretty new to the show. And then we talk about, you know, other movies we watched between episodes.
So what do you want to do first, man?
Ant-Man. Should we start with Ant-Man? Next, we're going to talk about Peyton Reed / Edgar Wright /
Joe Cornish.
Yeah. Their film, Ant-Man.
Imagine a soldier the size of an insect. The ultimate secret weapon.
You give godlike powers to everyone, it's going to be chaos.
So how do we stop him?
I know a guy. Scott, I've been watching you for a while. You're different. And I believe everyone deserves a shot at redemption. Do you?
Absolutely. My days of breaking into places and stealing stuff are over. What do you want me to do?
I want you to break into a place and steal some stuff.
Makes sense.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Now, the suit has power. You have to learn how to control it. And these are your greatest allies.
You're kind of cute. Whoa.
When you're small, you have superhuman strength. You like a bullet. So you need to know how to punch.
You want to show me how to punch? Show me how to punch.
That's how you punch.
All right, so Ant-Man, starring Paul Rudd. Why don't you lay down the framework for Ant-Man for us?
A thief, played by Paul Rudd, with a conscience. He's a nice thief. He gets a second chance after coming out of jail. Michael Douglas has been watching him for a very long time, and he wants him to become Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Via a suit.
Yeah.
A suit that shrinks you. Except for it's very valuable technology, and of course the bad guys want it. Can't have a movie without bad guys. So here's, you know, Paul Rudd, guy that everybody's always kind of liked, and he's thrown into a very big movie, and I am so happy for it because I actually really liked this film.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm so happy for Paul Rudd because I think he's finally, you know, like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. That's true.
Gets his chance. And I think this movie really nailed it. I don't know what you think, but
yeah. I'm a little more down on it than you, for
really?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I thought it was average at best. The reason I thought it was average at best is like the first maybe hour of the film, it's just Douglas telling us what's going to happen and telling us everything and beating us over the head, and Evangeline Lilly being basically useless. And her character could have done more. You know, I'm here to judge the film that's there. But I think they could have made leaps and bounds if they made her a bigger part of the movie. Paul Rudd, it felt like he was restrained in this. I felt, as I was watching it, I was like, I should be laughing more. Like, some of his punchlines, I just didn't react at all. I was like...
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I was like very... I was just as shocked as you. I was like, this is Paul Rudd handcuffed. Michael Pena... He is just...
He's great.
Great.
Yeah.
And for him, when he's on screen, he outshines everybody that's on the screen with him. And, you know, that's a sign of a great character actor. He's a guy who deserves more. But he's just a character actor in this movie. It took way too long to get going for me.
See, I didn't really have that problem. And plus, it's an origin story, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a little bit of plot going on there.
Yeah, and we've seen it, like, how many times now? 6 or 7 times.
That's just the thing, though. I knew nothing about Ant-Man before this movie came out.
Yeah. I knew very little, only the stuff I heard on Twitter, which is...
And you saw the trailer.
and the trailer.
I also really enjoyed the fact that, because I knew nothing about Ant-Man, this movie was way more accessible than, say, the last Avengers film, where I was just like, what the fuck? Like 50 times during that film. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you didn't know the comic book in that film, it was like, haha, inside joke, here you go.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't think Ant-Man had anything like that.
Yeah, it definitely didn't. That's for sure. I am probably sounding like really, really way down on it. I did enjoy quite a bit of it. Like, all the action stuff is super cool. And when they're getting into the training sequences, a lot of that stuff was pretty cool. But I just felt like I've been here. I've done this. how many years in a row now?
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a little tired of the Marvel formula, even though I love Paul Rudd. And
well, just... let me get this straight. This is not Guardians of the Galaxy.
Definitely not. No.
That's the bar, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy, which was an origin story.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Guardians, obviously.
Yeah.
but I think you can do a hell of a lot worse Marvel-wise than this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is not Iron Man 2.
No, or 3.
Or 3. Or yeah. This
Or Avengers Age of Ultron.
I found it really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said before, hey, at least you watched it.
Yeah.
And you liked it. Parts of it.
Parts of it, sort of. Again, like I mentioned in this in the rant, the finale, the final boss fight. I saw the whole thing before the movie even came out. I say that sort of sarcastically because there's maybe about 90 seconds of it that's not in the trailer.
The tank engine?
Yeah, all that stuff.
I'm not going to say the name of the tank engine, but
yeah.
if you're, you know, not slow, you might get that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So while all of that's unfolding, I'm kind of going, yeah, I've seen all this for about 6 months in a row now, before every movie I watched.
Did you like Michael Douglas?
I did. He was really good. He brought a lot to the table.
Some creepy, like, special effects work, I'm guessing done by CG, that, like, takes him down to, he's like, about 40.
Yeah. It's that creepy. Stuff was cool.
It was awesome, but it was like, holy crap, that works really well.
It's scary how well that worked.
Corey Stahl as the villain?
He was okay. I'd say he was a little bit better than Lee Pace in Guardians of the Galaxy.
See, I liked him.
Which isn't saying much.
No. Ugh. Lee Pace in Guardians still pisses me off.
Yeah.
No, I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen season one of House of Cards, Corey Stahl in that in season one is heartbreaking.
He is great.
So good in that.
Yeah.
Underrated as hell.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see him also kind of graduating to a bigger role.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that were on my wish list as I walked out. I was like, man, I really wish we got more of him. But I know it's not about him. He's just kind of, you know, the boss man in the movie.
Evangeline Lilly's fine too. I don't, underwritten.
Oh yeah,
but she's fine. Another TV actress. She was from Lost.
Out of TV actresses, she's one of the best because she's, I think she does fine work. But again, it's something about her character. I was just like, it should be more than this. Yeah, I don't know what else I have to say.
No, I don't really have too much more. I thought I really liked it. I thought it was really good. Yeah, can't win them all, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And just from a, because I know a lot of people like ratings and use that as a way of gauging how somebody reacted to a film. I would still give it like a 3 out of 5. I did like it, sort of.
Yeah, I went a little higher.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I went 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I really liked this one.
Right on.
Yeah, I liked it more than I thought I would. Just because I had no idea what it was. Pleasantly surprised.
Right on, dude.
That's a good feeling.
Cool.
And plus, dude, we haven't seen anything good in the last, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just like, holy crap, this is actually competent.
Yeah. It was really well made.
Yeah.
The special effects were super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was fine. I don't know. That's me.
Nice.
Cool. So I think right about now, we're going to cut off the GoPro feed. So we'll cut it short here. I'll leave a link in the description. If you want to check us out, we do launch our podcast every 2 weeks right now. Probably after summertime, we'll dwindle it down to our usual every 3 weeks. But check us out. We're the Green Screen of Death.
Stop giving them content. Cut.
All right. You guys are out of here, YouTubers.
Peace.
Okay, so I guess we're ready to move on to our next movie, Judd Apatow's Trainwreck.
Girls, your mother and I are getting divorced. Monogamy isn't realistic.
Monogamy isn't realistic.
Again.
Monogamy isn't realistic.
I didn't understand that word at the time. But now I know exactly what he was talking about.
Saturday, I would love it if you were my date.
I can't do that because, like, you and I won't ever see each other again.
I wake up late every morning, money just cooling, I'm still yawning. Good
morning.
Oh, Amy. What happened? Did church let out early?
Ooh, I like Tom's sweater. Does he teach computer in a church basement? Don't get all threatened just because you don't understand the concept of marriage. You dress him like that so nobody else wants to have sex with him? That's cool.
Hey.
I'm just a modern chick who does what she wants. Last week, it was this guy.
Is that wine in the box?
Hey, Mark Wahlberg, shut up.
Mark Wahlberg?
Mark Wahlberg's like 150 pounds. I look like Mark Wahlberg ate Mark Wahlberg.
Before you judge, you should know I'm doing fine. My friends are awesome. My apartment's sick. And I have a great job at a men's magazine.
I like you, Amy. You're clever, but you're not too brainy. You're pretty-ish, and you're not gorgeous. You're approachable.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm giving you an assignment. I need a profile on a sports doctor.
All right, so Trainwreck, here's one we've been hearing about all year long. What did you think of it?
Written by Amy Schumer.
That's right. How cool
That's
is that?
That's awesome. Yeah. I like this one, too, quite a bit.
I love this one.
A young single woman finds out what it's like to fall in love pretty much for the first time, and she's all about, you know, monogamy and this now, and she doesn't quite figure it out. Everything kind of goes wrong.
That's right.
And it's really biting, and it's really funny, and not for your mom, I don't think. It's really kind of dirty.
Yeah, it's very...
Man, I like that.
Yeah. At my screening, I witnessed two blue hairs get up and leave during a sex scene early in the movie.
Yes.
It was so funny. I was like, oh, they obviously didn't know what this was about. So yeah, Amy Schumer, she's... In the beginning, she's giving us, you know, the framework for what she's all about. She sleeps with a lot of guys. And, you know, the excuses she uses for... you know, not giving them her number. It's something that I think not every adult can relate to, but I'm sure a majority of adults can relate to.
The booty call.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So yeah, all that stuff is funny and super relatable and just hilarious.
Amy Schumer is a magazine reporter who has to interview Bill Hader's character about a... he's a sports doctor.
That's right, yeah.
And he's got this brand new technique, and Amy Schumer's character is there to interview him about it. They hit it off.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Hader's awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
A friend of mine at work, a female, came up to me and said, I saw a train wreck, and I never knew Bill Hader was hot.
Oh, really? Nice.
I was
That's
like,
cool.
Okay. Is he? All right.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I guess it's all of different strokes for different folks. But
that's right.
I was like, okay, that's cool. I thought Amy Schumer was hot, but
yeah, she's nice in this for sure.
And then I had another idiot at work come up to me and go, why do people think Amy Schumer is hot?
Oh, no way.
And I was like, really?
That sucks.
She's hot. She's super confident. She's funny.
Yeah,
she's,
the way she carries herself,
too. She's awesome.
Yeah, the watching the two of them play together was just so much fun. Amy Schumer and Bill Hader. So they're both comedians. They're both very comfortable with delivering all kinds of comedy, and they do it all. And at one point... Amy Schumer even calls attention to it, says, look at this. What is she? We're like the whitest people in New York right now. And all that stuff was funny because they're doing like cutesy couple things. And it was a lot of fun.
I also really enjoyed all the supporting characters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you see him in a trailer, you see LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
He's quite good.
He's funny. Yeah.
He's really funny. He's got some really choice lines. John Cena.
John Cena, he's a scene thief, isn't he?
Wrestler.
That's right.
He's an absolute scene thief. He is awesome.
He's great. Yeah really funny.
Some just amazing lines. I heard he ad-libbed a lot of it,
too. Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a video on the internet of him like just spouting stuff off.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Yeah, he is so funny.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, she is hilarious.
Unrecognizable. I didn't even know it was her.
Oh, you didn't,
No.
It took me like about a minute or two. I was like, oh, yeah, oh, cool. That's Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, she looks, I saw the credits and I was like, what?
She lays on a heavy accent. She's awesome.
Colin Quinn.
Yeah, he's funny.
As Amy Schumer's dad.
Yeah.
Who's all about divorce at the beginning and putting her on her ways of being a single woman.
That's right.
Yeah. Ezra Miller.
Ezra Miller. Playing himself.
But yeah, pretty much. He's got some weird sexual hang-ups, we'll put it that way. And Amy Schumer's best friend is played by Vanessa Bayer.
She is
really
great.
Good.
Yeah.
All the little like small characters, especially, because I this, I'm gonna be really honest, got a bit of a thing for her. Brie Larson shows up Amy Schumer's sister.
Yeah.
She is also great.
Yeah.
Everybody who's a supporting character is great.
Yeah. They bring a lot to the table. I was really surprised by LeBron James
and
John Cena, probably the two biggest surprises for me in this movie. For me, I thought this was like the perfect date movie or hangout movie. This is one you can go with your partner or go with your friends and have a blast. And there was a lot of that in the screening I went to. There were couples and groups of friends together and everybody just had a really good time. But again, it is pretty vulgar at times. So maybe don't bring your parents to this movie.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of comedies this year.
No, the quality hasn't been there. Like, there's a small handful of really good comedies this year. This is definitely one of them.
I do know Adrian really thought Minions was funny, but...
Minions was hilarious. But that's a little kid, like, look at the shiny colors.
Yeah.
Banana.
Yeah, this is the adult comedy of the year so far.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I really liked it.
The only sort of nitpick I had is... I know this. I say this with every Apatow film.
It's too long.
Every scene just goes a little bit too long.
Yeah. And
there are some scenes where I thought that doesn't need to be there. Why is this here? But I don't want to give anything away.
Small nitpick for me too.
There wasn't enough of that for me to really come out and go, ugh, like I did with This Is 40 or even Funny People, which Funny People I love, but it's way too long.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Trainwreck. Very funny. Very good stuff. I think we're both pretty stoked on it.
Yeah, like I've like two movies on this show.
Hey, that's a first in like a long time.
A long time.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm super happy about that.
Crazy,
I love it.
crazy.
Yeah, because man, was I not into seeing movies there for a while.
We had a pretty bad stretch, as you can probably hear in the last few episodes. We do our best.
Yeah.
We just watch what's in front of us and hope for the best. Did you have any closing thoughts on...
No, that's it for me. Good film, man.
Right
good
on.
Film.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit as well. Okay, so we have one more main review to go here. What's his name? Anton Fuqua. Anton Fuqua.
Sounds like something Al Pacino should say. Fuqua.
Fuqua. Southpaw. Let's talk about Southpaw.
I expected a hard fight. You know, I put my family through a lot.
The harder you fight, I get it.
Let's go!
Only now you've taken way too many hits before you get off.
You can't fight like that anymore.
Think about her.
I'm gonna tell you something.
I love you.
I love you.
So predictable.
Man.
The light heavyweight champion of the world, Billy Hurst.
I wouldn't be here without my wife, Maureen.
Hey, Billy, why are you leaving so soon?
Come on, keep walking.
Baby, you ain't never been a real man.
Let that go.
Let's go home.
How about I take your belt?
Hey, stop!
Okay, so Southpaw, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, 50 Cent, Rachel McAdams, Forest Whitaker. Yeah, Southpaw is basically every boxing movie ever put into one film. For some reason, it worked for me, though. I love Gyllenhaal in this and Forest Whitaker.
I wrote this really terribly cheesy synopsis on my page. You want me to read it?
Sure, do it.
A boxer must rise over personal and professional instability to once again become a champion in multiple aspects.
Bam! Well
Fuck
said,
yeah.
dude.
Thank
you should write for IMDb.
Thank you.
Bill put it perfectly.
Yeah.
That's Southpaw, and that's basically all there is to it.
Pretty much.
There's no grand scheme here. There's no lessons learned. There's no anything new.
Don't be poor.
Don't be poor.
Yeah. Okay, so right off the top, Jake Gyllenhaal's character in the film, his name is Billy Hope.
Billy Hope.
Is he the great white hope?
He's given us all hope, dude.
Come on.
He's the underdog.
I didn't know his name until I saw the film, and then I heard his name, and I just started laughing uncontrollably. That is some weak sauce right there.
Yeah.
Kurt Sutter wrote this, the guy who did Sons of Anarchy.
That's right,
dude, you are better than that.
We're, of course, talking about, we're slightly referencing that film, The Great White Hype, right?
Yeah.
Like, they even joked in that movie about giving him a white name because people need to know you're white.
Yep.
And what better way to name yourself Billy Hope? Yeah, it is, I'll fully admit, it is cliche, the movie, but I thought Gyllenhaal rose above and just transformed into this character, gave it his all, and I loved his performance.
I thought it was a little over top at times.
It was.
He's good. He was better in Nightcrawler.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I think that's the pinnacle for Jake. And I like this one too. I just you know, a little over top.
You said cheesy.
Cheesy. Yeah,
I can see that too.
I find the whole movie kind of cheesy, actually. And plus, as you were saying, this film copies every damn boxing film ever made. It doesn't have a problem doing it.
They might as well turn and go, this is the Rocky montage right here. Yeah. This is Rocky 4 right here. This is Rocky 2.
Plus, Antoine Fuqua must have got some like cool new like Steadicam equipment or like dollies, because every shot in this film like either turns on a dolly or mm-hmm. zooms in or something stupid. Like, stop yeah. with your style. Yeah. It sucks. Yeah. Especially when he's fighting a boxing fight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And everything's like, becomes like first person. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the boxing fight.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's just nitpicking, but I couldn't see a damn thing in this film half the time.
Yeah. And they did show a little bit of like the cable footage, the HBO footage of it.
Yeah, just show that.
Yeah.
With James Horner, rest in peace.
Yeah, one of his final scores, right?
Giant, enormous, overpowering scores that like were like insert emotion here.
Yeah. And that's a weird thing. Like, this movie normally would piss me off, but for some reason it all worked. Like,
yeah.
I think a big part of it too was Forrest Whitaker plays a big role in this, and it was nice to see him just acting the shit out of the character.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good. 50 Cent?
Yeah, that's right.
Not so good.
He's almost serviceable.
He plays generic boxing promoter number 4.
Yeah, slimy, generic. Yeah. And luckily, they know not to use him that much in the film, because he doesn't have a lot of screen time. Thank goodness.
Yeah. It's not a bad film.
Mm-hmm.
I still like parts of it.
Yeah.
Some of it just drove me nuts. I'm glad you liked it, man.
Well, another big nitpick, which is very valid, is that the villain in the movie is just totally forgettable. And that's part of what makes a great boxing movie, is having a very charismatic, love to hate, hate to love kind of villain. And
like we were talking after the movie, and we were talking about Rocky IV.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Ivan Drago.
Drago, yeah.
The coolest boxing villain ever.
He was great.
He's working out. He's getting injected with steroids. He's making faces. He's flexing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's sweating.
Dolph freaking Lundgren.
He's breaking boxing punching machines.
Yeah, so good. The villain in this film, he's just a dick.
He's just an asshole.
There's no tension in it. He's just an asshole.
He's an asshole, and then you never see him again until, like, the final fight. I really enjoyed the film. Hopefully you can tell why from what I've said.
I also have a little bit of a problem sports-wise. Some of the stuff they do in the film, if you know anything about the sport, which I do, wouldn't have been able to happen. Like, in the first fight right at the beginning of the film, he got his ass kicked so bad that he could hardly stand up.
Oh, yeah.
And then he fought 2 months later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2 months later.
He would have been suspended for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of weird little things like that.
Or, you know,
his eyeballs like hanging out of his face.
Yeah, it's like it's so dumb. But yeah. That's just me being like sports guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, it's not a bad film.
Yeah.
It's a renter as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
VOD that
shit. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm totally okay with that. So yeah, that's Southpaw.
Yep.
Cool. Are we ready for movie club?
I guess so.
Yeah, let's do it. Last episode, Bill handed me Song of the South.
I feel bad too, because I told people that it was on YouTube, and it is on YouTube, but to get around the copyright, they sped the audio up.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it sounds like chipmunks.
Oh, no.
So Disney couldn't put copyright on it.
Yeah.
So sorry to anybody who tried to watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I apologize.
But I think that'll be probably the last time we do something that's bootleg only and hard to find. But I can see why you wanted to talk about it, because it's so controversial.
It's super controversial. And I have a real problem with Disney getting away with it. and that, not really owning it.
Yeah, that's something we talked about earlier today. I was like, yeah, you know, I never thought of that. You know, if a teacher goes on Facebook and says, had this one student in class say his dumbest piece of shit I've ever met, that person will be fired by the end of the day.
Yeah.
Disney makes one of the most racist films I've ever seen in my life, if not the most racist
film. Pretty much.
And their hands are clean.
Because they control it. To use the Disney term, it is in the vault.
Oh, that's right.
I hate that term.
Maybe that's why they created it.
Yeah.
To hide all their bullshit.
Yeah. Because let's face it, Disney is a completely sanitized company. Not a lot of like quote-unquote Disney films are R-rated. Like Deadpool is Marvel, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's going to be R-rated.
Yeah, they're owned by Disney. Like a first.
Yeah.
Huh.
But this one, yeah.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the film, what it's about?
A young boy finds out his parents are divorcing, and he gets sent to a plantation where he is told stories by a wise man. His name is Uncle Remus, and he tells stories. Some are like live action, some are animated. And meanwhile, it's really racist.
Oh, big time. Big time racist. And there's supposed to be like life lessons. And there's like, there's sort of a subplot where they talk about a rabbit who, you know, the fox and the bear can't catch. And all three of those characters just speak like the most brutal and the worst stereotypes of the way black people speak. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah.
The fox fashions a tar baby to trick the rabbit. And tar baby, if you're not familiar, it's really disgusting, gross slang for, you know, a black person.
Yeah.
And that's a Disney film. And when he encounters the tar baby, he's really aggressive with it. He punches it at one point. And all the while, he's speaking like just in the worst possible way.
Disney's whole thing is that they say that all the African Americans in the film are not slaves. But guess what? I've seen the film. They may not use the word slaves, but they're slaves.
They're definitely working for the man.
Yeah, there. Like Whitey is definitely giving the orders.
Yeah.
And
in a plantation.
Yeah. Like this is a really cool double bill with Django.
Oh, yeah,
then you totally watch this, and then Django kicks some ass.
Totally.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I wrote one phrase. This is the only phrase I was comfortable sharing. At one point, Uncle Remus says, "Show enough." And I was like, oh, my God. I've heard that on rap tracks.
Picking cotton.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's so brutal.
Terrible stuff.
But it raises, I think, the reason why you wanted me to watch it and maybe have other people watch it is the accountability of releasing something so hateful. It's not available in North America. And if they ever did release it, there would be people protesting. It would be just social media would be unbearable.
Tons of people don't know about this film. So what they're doing is working.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of sad.
Yeah. Hiding.
Yeah.
Like if we hide history, it's you're not learning from that history, which is, I think, a big part of what we were talking about today.
Yeah, I think they should own it. Like, I really do. Like, they should release it and have, like, a thing at the beginning saying, look, we know we screwed up, but this is part of our history, and here it is. You know, film scholars discuss. I hate censorship. So, even if it's bad stuff, I believe that censorship can be overdone, so I don't like it at all. This one's pretty bad.
It's brutal. It is so brutal.
No sugarcoat in this one. Yeah. There's a reason I wanted you to watch it.
Yeah.
Like you know, I wish other people could see it just to see how bad Disney screwed up.
Song of the South. Really gross movie to watch, but I think very important for history to see where they've come from and what they're hiding. It raises a lot of questions.
What did you actually think of it as a movie?
As a movie? I thought it was terrible.
It's not their best.
It's terrible.
No.
Like, one thing I wrote down is that it proves 100% that ginger kids are evil. And they should be put down. There's a pair of evil twins. Well, not twins. They're brothers. And they're just shitheads in the movie.
Too good.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't really have much else to say.
No, it's not the best movie, but it's super important as far as I'm concerned. Just to show people how bad Disney was. As I got a bootleg of it. That's pretty much the only way you're going to be able to see it.
Yeah,
it
totally. Sucks,
but yeah. Hopefully everybody gets to see it eventually.
Yeah. So you have our next selection. You're going back to the 2000s, right?
Yeah, I decided that I wasn't going to try to do the 30s and 40s. I'm not really super strong on anything before the 50s. I just don't like the movies, to tell you the truth. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
So I did the 40s to do Song of the South, but that might be as low as I'll ever go again. Back to the 2000s. And the last film in the 2000s I did was Best of Youth. And it was 6 hours long.
Yeah.
And I thought I was really trying Adrian.
That was brutal, man.
I want this to be something that's I'm proud of. I had a bunch of movies in front of me. One of the films really stuck out. And I'm like, Adrian's not going to like this film. It's really wacky. And I don't know if he'll actually like it. And it's 4 hours long.
Okay, 4 hours. That's not as bad as six.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the four-hour masterpiece from Sion Sono, Love Exposure.
Love Exposure, nice. I haven't seen this.
I didn't think you had. It's from 2008 in Japan. It was never actually released in North America until 2011.
Oh, wow.
Played Fantastic Fest in 2009.
Yeah.
Got a really big following. I love it. Cool. But it's really weird.
Nice.
This might break you. This may be the breaking point of the green screen of death movie.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. We've seen some hardcore shit so far.
Weirdly, I thought it might have been Hosu, but this one is definitely weird. The whole idea of the movie is this kid, his dad is a priest. To get the attention of his priest dad, he decides he's going to start doing really bad things. And his idea of doing a really bad thing is taking photos of panties on chicks when they're walking down the street.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
I'm giving this no justice, but I'm being really frank. This movie's really weird.
Yeah.
It's Sion Sono.
Right on.
Which, if you don't know who he is, why don't you play in Hell?
Yeah.
And Tokyo Tribe.
Tokyo Tribe. Two of his most recent films.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Oh, wait. He has like three coming out.
In 2015, he actually made 4 movies.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, hope you like it. Hope.
Right on, dude.
If you don't, I feel bad, but
I'll give it a shot.
Literally, I had 5 movies in front of me, and I'm like, I legit have no balls if I don't give him this one.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Right on. Thanks, man.
So I hope you enjoy it.
Love Exposure.
It's a multiple movie night.
Nice.
Because I'd watch 2 hours and then 2 hours. Because I don't think I've watched it once. I've seen it like 3 times.
Yeah.
I watched it once straight. And it was a chore.
Oh, jeez. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Love Exposure.
Love Exposure. The front cover is 4 people holding up a cross that's kind of blocking a woman's vagina.
That's right.
I kid you not.
That's awesome, dude. Bring it on, man.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
I hope you like it, man.
Thanks, dude.
But as I said, this isn't the one that breaks you. Because the 90s...
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Nice, dude.
I already got it planned. Yeah.
Cool. Bring it on. Bring it on. Cool. Thanks, man. So that's the movie club. Bill picks a movie that I probably haven't seen, and he's been correct every time. So for this one, if we encourage our listeners to join in the conversation. We've had Jim Poliafico from Movie Bear Podcast join us before, and he pitches in his comments. If you want to participate, just send us a message on our Facebook page or Twitter account and let us know what you think of Love Exposure. You have until August 9th to watch the film. So if you want to participate, watch it between now and August 9th and we'll read some of your comments on the show.
Come on, people. I know all you hardcore Fantastic Festers have seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get the talk going here. Cool.
Cool.
Okay, so we're ready for our next section, the lightning round, where we talk about other movies we've watched, but we don't really give it the main review treatment. Just fire them off quick and dirty.
Quick and dirty.
That's right. So what did you watch, dude?
I think maybe for the first time ever, Adrian watched more than I did.
Yeah. What's up with that, dude?
I've been busy. Plus, I've been playing a new PS4 game.
Oh, that's right. Bloodborne. Right on, dude.
If anybody who's played that, you feel my pain. I've probably died 5,000 times.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Cool.
The first thing I watched was the documentary Amy from the guy who made Senna.
Oh, nice. I love Senna.
It's an amazing documentary if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
We all know who Amy Winehouse is, but what we kind of didn't know is that she had some stuff going on in the background that probably caused her to die.
Yeah.
Not going to really get into spoilers because, okay, you know, watch the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good. It's not as good as Senna.
Right.
But to tell you the truth, I'm not really a big Amy Winehouse fan.
Yeah, same here.
Not my kind of music.
Yeah.
She was obviously talented. Didn't really like her voice.
Yeah, same here.
It was all the Mark Ronson production behind, like, Rehab and all that.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And one other really stupid, really dumb nitpick that I just did not like about the film, every time there was a song on the screen, they put the lyrics on the screen.
Oh.
Motherfucker, like we don't know the words to Rehab.
That's funny, man.
Oh, no, it was terrible. I hated that.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty good, though.
Cool.
We all know what happens, so it's kind of tension-filled because she just keeps on getting worse.
Yeah.
And it's kind of brutal to watch. Mr. Holmes. Ian McKellen.
That's
Sherlock
right.
Sherlock Holmes. It's a decent movie. Nothing really major. I'm thinking probably an awards push for McKellen. He's quite good because he's Ian McKellen.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Sherlock Holmes doesn't like the way John Watson wrote books about him, so he decides he's going to try to write his own book.
Oh, nice.
Except cool. for he has Alzheimer's.
Oh, no. I better avoid that one.
It's pretty brutal. Ian McKellen falls a lot and forgets things. Geez. And yeah.
Oh, man.
But it's still pretty good.
So it's a documentary.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. that was mean.
It's also starring Laura Linney.
Okay, I like her.
It's also really good.
Nice.
It's a good little film. It's not great.
Yeah.
Pixels.
Pixels. You texted me this morning. You're like, I'm going to Silver City. I'm going to see Pixels.
Paper Towns.
Paper Towns. I was like, I'm doing nothing right now. I'll go with you.
Everybody saw this last week. And on Twitter, everybody was destroying this film.
Crapping all over.
Just
big
killing
time.
It.
Yeah.
And
So was I.
Yeah, me too. I walked in with absolutely no expectations at all.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
No.
Which is weird, because I haven't enjoyed an Adam Sandler movie in about 30 years.
No, I haven't either. I expected really bad things. Of course, Adam Sandler is awful.
He is terrible.
Every time he's on the screen, just shut up.
He doesn't care.
No.
He just doesn't give a fuck.
No, and Kevin James is along for the ride, because he's, you know, Adam Sandler's buddy.
Yeah.
He's also really terrible.
Yeah.
But then we get to the good stuff.
Yep.
Right off the top, Josh Gad.
Yeah.
Of Frozen.
You know, shouty.
He played Olaf in Frozen.
Yeah.
And Peter Dinklage.
Dinklage. He is awesome.
They steal this movie.
They do.
Peter Dinklage is so amazing in this film. Every time he comes on the screen, Adrian and I were just losing our minds.
It's all about the mullet he has and like the sunglasses and the way he carries himself.
See, Peter Dinklage also doesn't give a fuck in this film, and he just goes for it.
He does.
Every time he opens his mouth, it is gold.
Yeah, he's funny.
And Josh Gad also. Every time he kind of loses his way, but
yeah,
I say like 80% of his jokes hit.
Yeah, I was laughing. I was like, wow, he's normally like, I'm not a Josh Gad fan.
No.
He's just a shouty guy, but it works in this film.
Yeah, he's quite good.
He has this funny bit where he shouts at Navy SEALs. It's just so weird.
Yeah, and the video game effects are cool.
Yeah, the special effects were awesome.
Yeah, it really works.
I thought Columbus did a fine job with the action stuff, like, and that's why people are going to see the movies, for the action.
It's definitely not as bad as people are saying.
No, I wouldn't go as far as saying as I liked it, because I did have a lot of problems with it.
I did too, but I walked out of this film going, wow, that was way better than it should have been.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Anything with Sandler on it, I normally skip. But today, I had nothing else to do. So I was like, I'll join you, man.
And then the movie that I've been bugging Adrian about for, I don't know, like 2 months?
Yeah, at least.
At least. And I was talking about how, you know, I really liked Fault in Our Stars.
You did.
Adrian really likes to bug me about that.
I hated that movie.
And Paper Towns from the same guy who wrote Fault in Our Stars. And the trailer kind of looked the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, can't wait to see Paper Towns. And Adrian was like, oh, man. And last episode, I was like, Adrian, are you going to see Paper Towns?
I was like, yeah, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. And I saw it and hated it.
I think it's one of the worst films of the year.
It's garbage.
It's absolute shit.
I honestly think that whoever wrote the screenplay took a book of Mad Libs and just plugged words in. And I was like, okay, here's my script.
Yeah. One of the worst screenplays of the year. The two main characters, played by Nat Wolff and Cara Delevingne. Delevingne?
Is that Avril Lavigne, yeah, whatever her name is.
Cara Delevingne, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
They talk like idiots with no chemistry.
Yeah, they've got no chemistry.
It's like, your romantic film? No, it's no chemistry. This is like 50 Shades, but for like young adult. And they don't even like each other.
Yeah, yeah. They're friends when they're little kids.
Yeah.
They go their own separate ways. And this is in the trailer. She unites with him again for one final adventure because she needs him to drive her around. I was like, oh, that's such the hot girl just using some nerd.
Congrats, dude. You're the friend zone chauffeur.
Yeah. This truly just feels like some nerd was like, what's his name? John Green?
Yeah.
Just feels like John Green was like jerking off one night thinking about the girl that he thought slipped through his fingers in high school, but she probably didn't know he existed. But in his mind, he built up some sort of romantic thing in his head about how if only he said something, maybe things could have worked out. That's all it is. It's a jerk off thinking about the girl he thought liked him, but she didn't know he existed.
And that Nat Wolff kid is a little too handsome.
He is.
Yeah. And Cara Delevingne, you know, last episode I said I thought she was cute. And then I saw this film and she's not cute.
She's lifeless.
She's got a weird look to her and she is lifeless. Thankfully, she disappears for like an hour.
Yeah. And
we get all these side characters who are just dumb.
Yeah.
Like literally the main character played by the Nat Wolff character has more interest and likability with Cara Delevingne's best friend in the film.
Yeah, they had more chemistry.
Way more chemistry. I'm just like, okay, why don't they get together?
Yeah.
No, but she's destined for some other kid who's just a weirdo.
Yeah, just a horny, dumb kid.
Yeah.
Drunk kid. And of course, you got the token black guy in the movie who, in the film, this is a minor spoiler, but you shouldn't see this film anyway
because no, it's
a piece of garbage. There's a quote unquote joke. I'm saying that with air quotes.
I know where you're going here.
There's a bit where they play a joke where they hand him a shirt to wear because, you know, the horny drunk kid spilled his own piss on him. So he has to get him a shirt.
Insert laughs.
Insert laughter here.
Yeah.
And then he hands him a shirt and he looks at it and it's got the Confederate flag on it. He just turns it inside out and puts it on. All the while, the other kids in the van are laughing at him. And it's like, how hateful and stupid is that? It was just dumb.
How can you release a film that has a Confederate flag? Have you guys not watched the news in the last month?
Yeah, last
2 months.
5 years.
Yeah.
Hate crimes
totally
pollute our world right now. And
how did that slip through?
Nobody watched it.
Because the movie's terrible. They're just like, fuck it.
Yeah. a quick edit could have cut that out. It didn't need to be in there. It wasn't funny. It would never have been funny. But they left it in. It was stupid and irresponsible.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely one of the worst films of the year. Would have been on my top three of the halfway point if we'd seen it 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah. It was worse than 50 Shades, which was my worst film of the year.
Nice.
And I can't say if it's worse than Gallows. I'm not sure. I might just flip a coin on those two. Yeah. So that's Paper Towns.
Yeah, don't flip the coin, man. You just lose both times.
That's right. That's right. It's a piece of garbage. I say burn Paper Towns to the ground.
We got out of the movie, and I looked at AJ, and I'm like, all the positive stuff I've said about this film, dude, I am so sorry.
That's right. I was like, yes, I was right. Vindication.
So, yeah. Sorry, dude. I apologize.
All good.
Yeah.
All good.
You've won this one.
I won that one. It was an easy gamble.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
That's it for me, man.
Cool.
Yeah, and I was Viva la PS4. Yeah. By the way, speaking of PS4, lots of PS4 references in the movies today.
Oh, jeez. That was just dumb.
Pixels, sponsored by The Last of Us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had a big bit where they had a Last of Us commercial in front of us.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I love that game.
That's cool. It was nice, yeah. I watched a couple others just to try to pad my numbers a bit.
dude, that's awesome. You watched movies. That's so good. Love it.
Yeah. I watched Tig, which is the documentary about Tig Notaro. She had two documentaries come out this year. This one is on Netflix, both Canada and the US. I do recommend it. It's basically follows her life back in, what was it, like 2013, 2012, somewhere around there, where she got breast cancer, her mom passed away, and she went through a breakup. She went through all these tragic events, like, within a very short time frame, and it covers her sort of journey through that, and her battle through that, and her life after that, and how it changed, and the lives she touched, and it's a beautiful film. If you know that story inside and out, it doesn't have a lot of new things to offer, but it's nice for her to tell that story in a film format. I quite enjoyed it. She's funny. She's great. I love her stuff. So, yeah, if you need something to watch, if you're a documentary fan, Tig is a solid recommendation.
I got a question. I haven't seen it, but does it have the day that she found out she had cancer, she went and did stand-up that night? Does it have that?
It does.
Okay,
the way that played out, though, the narrative on that, they did it a little bit after the fact.
Oh, okay.
She had time to write notes and come up with a routine for it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's very shortly after she found it.
I heard that. The first time I ever heard of Tig Notaro is on the This American Life podcast.
Yeah.
Where they had, that was a show. Her stand-up show that night was one of the shows.
Yeah, I think it was actually only a week because she already had it booked.
Yeah.
She found out and she was like, well, I have this show next week. And
nice.
On the set of In a World. In a World. She's in that movie.
Yeah.
And she jokes about how she was dying in that movie. That's when she had cancer and she didn't know it yet. So it's kind of crazy to think about that.
That's cool. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's well...
What's the name of the other one?
Oh, Knock Knock, it's Tig Notaro.
Cool.
That one is hilarious.
You saw that at South by Southwest?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I put it in my top 10, actually. It's really funny, really heartwarming, very personal. And just, yeah, it's great.
Right on.
I watched one other movie on Netflix. This one just came out recently, and it's available on Canada and U.S. Netflix. It's called Creep with Mark Duplass. And some other guy I've never seen.
Mark Duplass is awesome.
He's great.
Yeah.
He fully commits to this role. It's, as the title states, he's a creep. He's a creeper. He's weird. He basically plays the guy from Safety Not Guaranteed. but cranked up a notch.
If you haven't seen Safety Not Guaranteed, get on that.
Oh, yeah.
That movie is rad.
It's great. And he's awesome in it. This one, he just goes for it. And it's like, it's kind of like a really, really dark version of the Cable Guy. That's all I want to say about it. He has a great performance. I enjoyed watching the story unfold. I was very satisfied at the end. I was just kind of giggling through the whole movie like a total creep.
I have so much to watch.
Yeah, dude.
I gotta stop playing video games.
Yeah, I guess so. That's right. Yeah, so that's it for me for Lightning Round.
Right on.
I guess you've got the next part of the show. What are we going to talk about in our next episode?
Opening on July 31st. I don't want to see this movie anymore.
We should have been seeing it tomorrow.
Yeah, you should have heard the review on this episode. Got shut out. Mission Impossible. Rogue Nation.
Not Rouge Nation.
Was it MI5?
Yeah, MI5.
Let's call it that.
Yeah.
MI5. Tom Cruise and the gang is back, and supposedly there's another version of the IMF hunting them. And Tom Cruise hangs off a plane. Every time I go and see a movie, I see the little EPK on that.
Yeah. And he's like, it's a practical effect.
With 17 harnesses.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it looks good. I love these films.
I enjoy them.
Actually, that's not true. The first two are okay. Three is really good because Philip Seymour Hoffman's awesome. Four is really damn good.
Yeah.
Like best of the year kind of good.
Oh, yeah.
It works really well.
Yeah.
Christopher McQuarrie is a director on this one.
Oh, that's right.
And he did Jack Reacher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Jack Reacher.
That's good. But yeah. I just don't know if he's like jumping from Jack Reacher to Mission Impossible kind of good.
Yeah.
But it looks really good. Cool. Can't wait. Cool. Wish we could have seen it. Assholes. And I know somebody who's already seen this one, and they say it's the worst film of the year.
Ooh.
Shout out to Mark McLeod. Vacation.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He talked about how he just wanted to walk out. So it's like the worst film of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Doesn't shock me.
That trailer is just shit.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, we might have to for the podcast.
We have to do all this stuff for the fucking podcast.
That's right.
And then the next week, August 7th, Fantastic Four.
I totally forgot that was coming out.
Yeah, totally forgot. Some people say there's no more superhero films this year.
How dumb are you?
You're really dumb. Fantastic Four. A lot of really good young actors in this film, and I hope it's good.
Yeah, Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan.
Kate Mara.
Yeah. Jamie Bell. Yeah. Looks cool.
Looks really good.
Yeah.
It's a reboot, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like it. Looks
very origin story.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. A trailer that Adrian and I both saw today and laughed at so much.
Which one is that again?
Jason Bateman, Rebecca Hall, and Joel Edgerton in The Gift.
The Gift. Oh.
Which looks like one of the worst trailers of the year.
It looks like garbage, yeah. Dude.
Unless there's some like sort of like, I don't know, plot device in that film that's going to make it really good. You've seen the whole movie in the trailer.
Oh, totally.
And it looks like crap.
Yeah. Looks like they're trying to go for Cape Fear or something like that.
And Joel Edgerton's goatee. Call me Gordo.
Yeah.
That looks terrible.
It does.
Ricky and the Flash.
Okay, I don't know.
Meryl Streep in a band.
Oh, yeah.
Comes back to fix her family's problems after leaving them for years and playing in a band. Written by Diablo Cody.
Yeah, Diablo. I love Diablo Cody.
But here's the thing. Directed by Jonathan Demme. Who is a rock god, man. I love Jonathan Demme.
Right on.
Yeah. Just because his name is on it, I'm there.
Nice.
Trailer looks okay.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
Next show, I guess we'll see. And Shaun the Sheep from Aardman.
I love their stuff.
So do I.
They're really good.
Yeah, like Wallace and Gromit are amazing. But this one looks really kiddish. It's been out in Europe for, I think, over 6 months.
Oh, it has, eh?
Yeah, and I didn't really hear much about it from them, so.
That's true. We'll see.
I'll still see it.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I love Aardman.
Yeah, so they put out good stuff.
Yeah.
I like their last one they did, the Pirates one.
Yeah, that's the one, Aardman, one I didn't like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of generic.
Yeah, cool.
Can't wait for that one.
Nice.
But that is it.
That's it.
Next show.
Next show, bring it.
Yeah.
I guess we'll get into the paperwork of the show. Where can people find you online, Bill?
They can find me on Twitter at SoundJam69. And this is usually when I say something really controversial, but I'm not because I felt really bad last episode.
Yeah, that's right.
Adrian really had to beat me. I did. Felt bad.
Yeah, I did.
The really funny thing is that somebody texted me and said, "What the hell did you say there?" And I told them, they laughed really hard.
That's so awesome.
Sorry you guys didn't get to hear it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm the guy, I'm the sensible one of the show, constantly censoring Bill.
Sorry.
That's all good, man. Yeah, you can find the show. We have a Twitter account. We're at @green_screen. We're also on Facebook. We're on a search, The Green Screen of Death. And we have a YouTube channel. Just run a search, The Green Screen of Death. We'll leave links in the show notes. You can find me on Twitter. I'm @Adrian_Charlie. I'm usually bitching about movies and trailers and hockey and footy.
Soon to be footy, man.
That's right. That's right.
Love it.
Yeah, so that's where you can find us online. So, again, we've noticed a few more new listeners tuning in. So, thanks again for listening.
And yeah, thanks to everybody who's ever listened to the show.
Yeah, we hope you stick around. Yeah, so yeah, hit us up. Once again, in terms of the show, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, any other podcast platform. Just run a search, The Green Screen of Death. Be sure to hit like and throw us a rating, comments, stuff like that. Helps us find a new audience. I guess that about wraps it up for this episode.
I'm good.
Cool. All right. Yeah, again,
thanks a lot. That was really weird. We had a camera.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if I like that, but
we'll adjust.
We'll see how it looks.
We'll adjust. Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.